How is everyone? Oh, okay. Amen. Amen. I am sure by now all exams are completed. Nobody's going to be taking exams until 11:59 tonight. I know not. This goes for you here as well as all of the online students. Amen. Amen. I have a lot on my agenda for tonight. So y'all just going to have to bear with me. We're just going to flow. Amen. You will remember during our last session, I shared with you that Apostle had taught us here at Word of Life Christian Center on kneeling in prayer. Amen. And then I reminded you that when we studied the prayer of praise and worship, the author said that kneeling down was an act of praise. And he said, kneeling down before your God is an act of humbleness and honor to God. This is where you recognize that he is God and that you are his child when you kneel. Amen. Turn to Psalm 95. We are going to kneel and pray. Everyone that can kneel here, as well as everyone who can kneel online. Amen. Now, if you can't, just bow. I mean, you know, we recognize that sometimes, individuals may not be able to kneel, but bow your head. Amen. Psalm 95. Let's read verse 95 and 6. Ready? Let's read. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. We'll stop there. Amen. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Glory to God. And y'all know I like to do a little cleanup work, so this is some cleanup stuff. Amen. We're going to read verses 14 through 21. Ready? Let's read. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. Our focus tonight is going to be that we might be strengthened, verse 16, strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, talking about our inner man. Amen. And we're finding out now our inner man is not our spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's just stand. We'll begin with just a minute or so of praise. And then everybody who can bow, I want you to bow. If you can't, just bow your head. Amen. Online students, you are included in this. We need you, hallelujah, to participate with us. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. giving you glory, Lord God, and honor and praise and blessing and thanksgiving, Lord God. You are so good, Father God. Lord God, you are great and you are mighty. We thank you, Lord God, for your love for us, Lord. And Father God, we want you to know how much we love you. We love the Lord Jesus. We love the Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we acknowledge you. We invite you. We welcome you. We ask you to help us to pray tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves as your children, Lord God. For this cause, we bow our knees unto you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God. You're here, Lord God. You're here, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, we're praying that we all might be strengthened, Lord God, in our inner man, Father. Strengthened with might, Lord God, by your Spirit. You're here, Lord God. You're here, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, we're asking. Give us ears to hear, Lord. You're here, Lord God. Oh, yes, Lord. Eyes that can see, Father, in the Spirit, Lord. Glory to God. Hearing and seeing in the Spirit. You're here. You're here, Lord God. Praying that we all understand, Father. Glory to God, what you're saying, Lord. Glory, hallelujah, what you're doing, Lord. You're here, Lord, we thank you. Glory to God, we thank you. Yes, Lord God. This new day, Lord. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord. This new dawning, Lord. Thank you for it. The new horizon, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. Yes, Lord God, the new season, Lord. Oh, my. Oh, my. We're so grateful. Glory to God. We don't take it lightly, Lord God. You're here. All you have done. Glory to God. All that you're doing. Thank you, Lord God. All you're going to do, Lord God. Thank you. Ah, Lord, ala la kishaha, ala la la mahanda da mahiri be sanda da bakaha, ala la la manda rebe dede boko shanda da bakaya. You hear, we yield. Glory to God, we yield. Ala la na la mahoya, ala la na la mahoya, ala la la baka shanda da bakaha, ala la la makanda da mahiri mo sanda da bakaya. You hear, Lord God. Ado don da rebe dede de, ala la 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 haya. You hear, mo soya. Ye de rebe de ya. La 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 kishanda da bakaha. Mama manda rebe de yo hoya. Rabu moho shende rebe de. La 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 ma kishanda da bakaha. La 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 mahanda rebe de me kinda da bakaya. La 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 ma kashanda da bakaha. Ananonda rebe de. La 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 rebe de rebo koshanda da bakaya. Ye hear, Lord God. Da 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 rebe de rebo koshanda da bakaha. Ba rebe de. Yes, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Thank you for this school, Lord. Glory to God. Yes, Lord God. Thank you for our apostle. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you for all the instructors. Thank you. Oh, Lord God. Yes, Lord. Every student, Lord. Glory to God. Those here. Those, Lord God. All my who attended, Lord God. Online. Oh, Lord, who shanda da bakaha. Ala la la maha shanda da bakaha. You here? Oh, my. Oh, my. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you for these moments, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord. Second and most all you. Ala la 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 We give you all honor, Lord God. We give you all the glory, all the praise, all the blessing, all the thanksgiving. Hallelujah. We thank you for this night, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for this class. Thank you for what you're going to see. Thank you for what you're going to do tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We give you all the honor, Lord. All the glory and the praise and the thanksgiving for it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I was talking with one of the other prayer leaders, and I wish I could explain to you what's happening as a result of kneeling. I can't find the words, but my prayer life is changing. I'm able to hear God. I can't say he's able to speak because he's always speaking. He's been speaking. I just wasn't hearing. Amen. I just wasn't understanding. But there's something about bowing your knees before him. I encourage you. Don't let this be just a class. Amen. 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 Glory to God. All right. Let's go on. Again, this is a little cleanup here. We're going to continue with prayer and the promises. For those of you who want to read, we are now in book three. If y'all can imagine, we have made it to book three. Hallelujah. We're on book three, chapter two, prayer and the promises. When we began this lesson on prayer and the promises, I gave you those three phrases or words: God's word, remember that? God's spirit, and our faith. Well, Apostle was ministering maybe about a week or two ago, and he shared something about faith that I realized that when I talked about it, you know, a lot of times you just think it's a given. You know, everybody knows, everybody understand. But he was talking about our faith and releasing our faith. You know, your faith has to be released. So let's look at Mark 11, chapter verses 22 through 24. You already know this. We read these scriptures before. But I think I need to emphasize, because I think when I talked about this, I said, you know, faith is acting on the word of God. And it is. But then there's something else you got to do with your faith. Amen. Something else you got to do. And you know it. But a lot of times we just let it slip. And it doesn't matter how many times you hear it, you need to hear it again. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Amen? Never, never think, oh, I got that. Never think that. Never think that. Amen? Mark 11, 22 through 24. Again, let's read. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Amen? In verse 23, and I can remember reading one of Brother Hagin's books as well as Apostles' teaching, and they were talking about how this verse is telling us that we have to do three times as much saying as believing. Amen? Saying. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall, underline that, say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he, again, saith, underline, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he, underline again, saith. So saith is in that one verse three times, right? Let's see, he says something about believing and shall believe in his heart. Okay, oh, and shall not doubt in his heart. And so that means shall believe, okay? So you see, it's not so much the believing. We are believers. And as believers, we believe. But it is so important for us to begin to speak what it is that we believe. We have to say it. Amen? When you go back to Genesis, remember, and God said, and God said. And so when we are ready to release our faith, we have found a promise from God. We believe the promise. Amen. It is important for us to begin to speak. Amen. To speak what it is that we are believing. Amen. We got to say it. We got to say it. Say it until it come to pass. You know, don't stop saying it. Even though you don't see it, you don't feel it. You know, go ahead on and you say, you know, for example, with Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. It doesn't matter what you feel like, not at all. What you're doing is you are confessing with your mouth, and at the time that you're confessing, you're not just confessing, you're releasing your faith. You're saying, this is what I believe. Amen? So when I talk about God's word, God's spirit, and our faith, I am talking about us beginning to release our faith for what it is that we are believing God for. Amen. You know, your money. I mean, what you saying? What you been saying? Are you saying what you have? That's what we tend to do. You know, are you saying... And you can't just say it, you know, just, well, number one, you're going to say it till you believe it. That's the other thing. Because, you know, I've also heard apostles say that before you believe anybody else, you're going to believe yourself before you believe anybody else. So if you can hear yourself saying it, then you're going to begin to believe what it is that you're saying. Not many of us are going to lie to ourselves on purpose. not on purpose, right? Right? Amen. So, I mean, when apostles said it, you know, immediately I just jump and I thought about y'all and I said, oh, I told him, I said, faith is acting on the word. And it is acting, but it is also speaking. You release it through your words. Amen. Your words can create, your words can bring to pass what it is that you are believing God for. Do not forget that. Don't let that slip. Amen. All right, now we're ready to go on with our lesson in book three. I am so excited we made it to book three before the end of semester. All right, book three, again, online students, chapter two, prayer and the promises. Let's go ahead, let's turn to 2 Peter, chapter one. It's a good chapter, believe it or not. I mean, it's amazing that this is the same author. Remember how I told you, your textbook is written. What they did was they took seven of Mr. Bounds' books and they put them in one. Amen? But it's not repeated. You know, what we learned in book two is different from what he wrote in book three. Amen? So he wanted to show us something else. We're still on prayer and the promises. And we are 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Ready? Let's read. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So you see, for this particular lesson, in verse, let's see, exceeding great precious promises, whereby given unto us, verse 4, exceeding great and precious promises. And this is what Mr. Bounds is going to be talking about in this chapter. The exceeding great and precious promises that have been given unto us. Amen? He begins the chapter by saying, without the promise, you got to have a promise. And he's talking about the promise from God. Prayer is eccentric and baseless. But then at the same time, without prayer, okay, say without the promise, okay, then he says, without prayer, the promise is dim, voiceless, and shadowy, and impersonal. The promise makes prayer dauntless and irresistible. Amen. I was about to get ahead of myself, but he's gonna talk about how they are interdependent. You got a promise, but a promise can't do nothing by itself. The promise needs you to pray it. Amen. To believe it and to pray it. Amen. All right. So we got, and when you know we're talking about the promise, we're talking about the word of God. But we're talking about a word that God has given unto us. He has said, this is what either I have done or this is what I'm going to do. Amen. There are some, promise, they've already been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. For example, healing. You know, we're not asking God for healing. What we're doing is we're appropriating what Jesus has already done for us. Amen. The enemy is trying to take our health from us. He's the one. He's trying to take it. But we're already healed. As far as Jesus is concerned, as far as God is concerned, we are already healed. Amen. But with our faith, we go in, we access it, we appropriate it, we call it back to this physical realm, into our bodies. Can you see that? Gonna be the same way with our money, our money too. We already rich as far as God is concerned. We already rich. See, you got to bring this home, this is what Apostle is. He's been drilling it, and he's been drilling it, and he's been drilling it, and I think we finally getting it. Finally getting it. You know, it's been many, many years, and it's like yes, 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 yes. We see it. Amen. Okay, so you see these exceeding great and precious promises. God has already given unto us. And this is what Mr. Bounds is going to be talking about. He says, Apostle Peter declared that God has given, amen, already done, exceeding great and precious promises. He says, it's the addition, you're talking about add to, remember that, all that add to? He says, it is the addition that makes the promises current and beneficial to us. It is prayer that makes the promises weighty, precious, and practical. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, I'll just go ahead and read it. It says, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Mr. Bounds explains, he says, here, Apostle Paul did not hesitate to declare that God's grace, so richly promised, was made operative and efficient by prayer. Ye also helping together by prayer, you see? It was done for us by prayer. That's what he's saying. The promises of God are exceeding great and precious. These are words that clearly indicate their great value and their broad reach as grounds upon which to base our expectations in prayer. See, if you don't have a promise, how are you going to pray? You see what I'm saying? And again, remember, we're talking about the word of God. When we stand the promise, we're talking about the word of God. You know, I think back to my grandmother and all of those, and, you know, and they prayed. But they did not always pray in line with the word of God or with the promises of God. You know, a lot of times when you became a Christian and you came into the church, if you came to prayer meeting, not many people did, but if you came to prayer meeting, then what you were doing is you would pray the same thing that you heard them pray, you know, because you thought they knew how to pray. And it was years and years and years before we began to learn that they were not always praying in line with the word of God. Now, you know, the Bible talks about in, you know, time past, God winked because he was looking at their hearts. You know, God was able to do some things for them because, I mean, they were sincere. They were genuine. Now, what word they knew, that's the word that they prayed. Amen? And God's mercy and his grace was there to meet them. But you always, you know, you heard a lot of, if it be thy will, you know, back then. I don't know if y'all remember that. Y'all are so young. Amen. But they would pray, if it be thy will. And, you know, when you got God's word, we've learned, right? Once you got his word, you got his will. Amen. That realization, you know, when he's talked about the promises of God exceeding great and precious, these are words that clearly indicate their great value, their broad reach as grounds upon which to base our expectations in prayer. When we realize that, or that realization of the exceeding great and precious promises and the possibility and condition of that realization, they are all based on prayer, all based on prayer. If you want it to be realized in your life, you're going to have to pray. Amen. These promises never brought hope to bloom or fruit to a prayerless heart. Okay, so you see sometime what has happened? He said, the author says, these promises never brought hope to bloom or fruit to a prayerless heart or glory to a prayerless church. Isn't that something? You know, if you've got a heart that's not praying, or talking about an individual here, an individual who's not praying, you know, how can the promise bring hope? How can it bloom? How can it bring forth the fruit in a person who's not praying? Or how can the glory of God be realized in a church that is not praying? Amen? Amen. Something for us to think about, huh? Prayer, we must understand, makes the promise rich, fruitful, and a conscious reality. It brings it into reality. Amen. Prayer is a spiritual energy and illustrated in its enlarged and mighty working makes way for and brings into, he says it again, practical realization, the promises of God. We're all familiar with Matthew 7 and 7. And let's see, you can get James 4 at the same time. Matthew 7, 7, James 4. In Matthew 7, 7, and it says, and we've seen this before in our lessons, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. Okay? So you see that asking, right? Ask. But then over in James chapter 4, I'm going to read the whole verse, but we're only looking at the B part. So James 4, verse 2, it says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, Ye fight and war, yet ye have not. Why? Because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. So what Mr. Bounds is saying, you know, if you're not asking God, first of all, you got to find the promise. You know, find the promise. Once the promise comes to you, then you got to ask God in order for that promise to become fruitful in your life or realized, as that's the word that he used. He says, God's promises cover all things that pertain to life and to godliness. His promises cover it all. Amen. He has taken care of everything on our behalf. Not only do they cover things that pertain to life and godliness, but they also cover things that relate to our body and our soul. We can find promises from God. And then the third one, he says, and they have to do with time and eternity. Amen. Talking about God's promises. It's covering all of this, life and godliness, body and soul, and time and eternity. These promises bless the present and stretch out, and I use the word, he used a different word, and stretch out to the limitless and eternal future. Prayer holds these promises in keeping and in fruition. You see how important that is? Prayer holds these promises in keeping and make them fruitful. That's what he means by fruition. He says, promises are God's golden fruit to be plucked by the hand of prayer. He was getting kind of poetic on me in some places here. You know, and you're going to see it a little bit later. He says some other things. He says, God's golden fruit, and it's to be plucked by the hand of prayer. I put in parentheses, how many fruit promises have been left on the tree, unpicked by us in prayer? Isn't that something? I mean, because that's what he says. He says, promises are God's golden fruit to be plucked by the hand of prayer. So if we're not praying, then a lot of our, and I call them fruit promises, are being left on the tree, unplucked, amen, by us in prayer. And so what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Well, somebody else is going to come along and pluck your fruit, I promise. That's one thing that could happen. The other thing is it could just be left on the tree. I was looking the other day. We have an orange tree in the backyard. And I wondered what happened because, you know, there were some oranges left and then the freeze came and all of that. And I happened to look at one of them and it was still on the tree. But, I mean, you couldn't even recognize it as an orange. You know, it had shriveled. It was black. You know, our promises are left on the tree. Amen. Unplucked by us because we are not praying. And we're not what? We have not because we what? We ask not. Amen. Promises are God's incorruptible seed to be sown and tilled by prayer. And again, I told you he said it. I told it to you earlier, though. Prayer and the promises are interdependent. The promise inspires and energizes prayer. But prayer locates the promise and gives it realization and location. Amen. See how you need one, need the other one. You know, you just can't have the promise. The promise needs you to pray it. Amen. You can't pray effectively without the promise either. Amen. You gotta have God's word. You gotta have God's word. Amen. You gotta be able to understand it. You know, you gotta have the understanding. Prayer takes hold of the promise and conducts it to its marvelous end. Prayer also removes the obstacles, see that? Obstacles, and makes a highway for the promise to its glorious fulfillment. So we need prayer and we need the promise. Both of them have to go together. They have to work together. He says, God's promises are specific, they're clear, and they're personal. Amen? God's promises are specific, clear, and personal. When we look at God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 22, and then I'm gonna flip back. You don't have to flip back, but you know, once we look at it in Genesis 22, that I'm gonna go back and look at it again in Genesis 12 because it's the same promise. Genesis 22, verses 15 through 18. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. You see that? There you go. The second time. And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing. Now, this is when he was going to offer up his son. We all know that, right? Yeah. You know, because God is telling him, for because thou hast done this thing and has not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. See, this is a promise. This is what God is telling him. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Amen. Amen. You know, God is, again, he's reminding, he made the promise in Genesis chapter 12, but he's just reminding, he said, nah, I know I got to give it to you. That's what I saw. You know, I got to give it to you now because you have not withheld your only son. You know, because you have done this, I'm going to make sure that this promise comes to pass in your life. Now, over in Genesis 12, you don't have to turn. He says, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curse thee. And in thee, there we go again, shall all families of the earth be blessed. So you see, that's the first place that he made the promise. And then in 22, he's just, in my opinion, reminded him of that promise. And especially since Abraham had obeyed his voice. Then over in, we're already in Genesis 25. We look at Isaac. God makes promise to Isaac. Isaac married Rebecca, and Rebecca was barren. She did not have any children. I mean, and you can read, Mr. Bound goes into a lot of detail behind these stories, and I do expect that y'all will read the chapter and see what he's talking about, but for the purposes of this lesson, I'm just giving y'all the high points. Amen? Amen. So in Genesis 25, verses 20 and 21, we read, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. Verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. Now, remember, now, Apostle is reminding us, don't just read the Bible as you're reading a story and you're reading about characters. When you read, ask the Lord, what are you saying to me? Amen? Amen. Ask, what are you saying to me? And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. Amen? And Rebekah, his wife, did what? Conceived. She conceived. Amen. Mr. Bound says, Isaac's praying opened the way for the fulfillment of God's promise. And just think if he hadn't prayed. If he had not prayed. Amen. His praying opened the way for the fulfillment of God's promise. It carried it on to its marvelous fulfillment and made the promise effectual in bringing forth the marvelous result. And if you read on, you know, she didn't have just one. She had twins. Amen? Amen. She had twins. God's promise to Jacob, we're still in Genesis. I don't know why I missed it, but he really stayed in the Old Testament with this particular chapter. In Genesis 31, he's going to tell, now we all know that, you know, Jacob and his brother Esau, you remember? And y'all remember how Jacob, I don't want to say swindled, deceived his brother. Yeah, he deceived his brother. And then he had to leave, right? Yeah, he had to leave. He couldn't stay there because his brother got hot. Ooh, he was hot. Took his birthright. God's promises to Jacob. Genesis 31, we're going to look at verses 3 through 7. Why am I in chapter 32 then, huh? Okay, 31, 3 through 7. And the Lord said unto Jacob, now he's been away, he's been gone for a long time. He says, return unto the land of thy fathers. Oh, yeah, because remember, his uncle Laban, remember? I mean, he felt like they were about to kill him because he had been so blessed. He was so blessed. And they were accusing him of all kinds of things. Okay, let's go up to verse 1. This will help you a little bit to understand what I'm saying. In verse 1, he says, and he, talking about Jacob, heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory. Talking about wealth, when he's talking about glory, amen? And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And then we get to verse 3. You know, oh, man, he upset with you. He mad with you. Look out. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. That's important. Amen. And I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, his wives. That's another story. Unto his flock. Amen. And he said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not towards me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. Verse 7, and your father hath what? Deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. So, you know, he's beginning to realize, look, you know, God been with me. God been good to me. And then God told him, return unto thy land, unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred. So then Mr. Bounds goes on and to explain, and he says, God's promise to Jacob. Jacob promptly moved out on the promise. He left. He said, I'm gone. But then, on the way back to his father's house, he began to realize that his brother was so upset with him, and he was so scared. Lord, what is Esau, my brother, what is he going to do to me? But Esau, Mr. Bounds said, confronted him with his awakened vengeance and his murderous intention. I think that's what he thought, amen? Jacob, and we've read this before, threw himself directly on God's promise by a night of prayer. Remember in that lesson where we talked about he wrestled? Jacob wrestled all night. And in the previous lesson, we talked about he didn't wrestle so much with the promise as with the promiser. That's a question on the test. Somebody listening. They got the answer. Amen. And, you know, wrestling with the promiser and the promise. It was God's promise and Jacob's praying that crowned and crowded the results so wondrously. And what happened was, after he wrestled, you know, he says, I'm not going to turn you loose till you bless me. Well, not only did Jacob have a change of heart, but then Esau, his brother, also had a change of heart. And as I was studying this, I began to realize a lot of times God tells us to do something. And, you know, and we are so concerned about how so-and-so is going to respond. It could be on a job. It could be on a family. Just wherever. You have to understand that when God tells you to do something, he's already working on both ends. Amen. He is preparing the way for you. I don't know if I gave y'all this example. But when I came to Word of Life Christian Center a few years ago, amen. I mean, I was so scared to go home and tell my mama. I did not know what to do. You know, that was the family church, but I knew God was talking to me. I mean, you got to understand now. I knew God was talking to me, and it had been a long time. You know, I tell people that I hung around Word of Life Christian Center so long that a lot of the members thought I was already a member. Amen. It took me that long to acknowledge, you a member. You know, Joanne, you a member. But God fixed that thing so that when I did, you know, I left the service and I went home to tell her. I said, well, I joined Word of Life Christian Center today. Before my mama could say anything, my mama was a very emotive person, you know, very emotional, you know, and she did not mind speaking her mind. And so I had, you know how you brace yourself? And my sister just went right on in there, and she said, oh, well, we knew. We knew you were going to go at some time. Shut my mama's mouth. Just shut it. She said, well, you got to call your pastor. I said, okay, here we go again. So, I mean, I wasn't going to be disobedient. I said, well, yeah, I guess I do need to call him. And so I got on the phone, and I called a pastor. And I said, well, I just want you to know that I joined Word of Life Christian Center today. Yeah, baby. Uh-huh. He acted like he didn't even know me. And it's like, I mean, you know, there go the sweat again. It's like, oh, my God. But you see, God was at work, and this is how God works. You know, the thing that we fear, the thing that we dread, God has already taken care of that. Don't be afraid to obey the voice of God. Amen? And see, and that's what Jacob did. You know, God told him, say, go back to your father's land. Go back to your home. He was just all afraid of his brother Esau. He knew what he had done to Esau. He knew it was wrong. And he knew that Esau probably had the right to do whatever he wanted to do with him, you know? And he was dreading it. Well, look what he did. He prayed. Amen. He prayed all night. He was that word. He prayed all night. He wrestled all night. And when he got up, God had changed him, and God had also changed his brother. Matter of fact, they ended up embracing. When you read it, they embraced one another. Amen. God's command and promise. Oh, we only have a minute and a half. Let me see here. Oh, my. And promise to Elijah. Oh, God. Okay, that's over in 1 Kings. Maybe we can just read it and then we'll just pick up. What Mr. Bounds is doing, he is showing us how God made a promise to the Old Testament. I don't want to call them saints, huh? People, amen, Old Testament people. And how, because they prayed, God was able to bring the promise to pass, amen? You know, these people just believed. They believed in seeking the law. Always remember, when you're reading now, they did not have a Bible. They did not have a Bible like we had. All they had was, thus said the Lord, and God said, and I believe, and I'm just going, well, yeah, we're not going to be able to go back. We're not going to be able to do it. Got 48 seconds. So next week, we'll just go ahead and we'll pick up and we'll look at Elijah, 1 Kings 18. God tell him, say, go show yourself unto Ahab. Now, Ahab and Jezebel, they were plotting to kill him. You know, they all are. When you read this account, oh, my God. And God going to tell him, go show yourself to Ahab, the man who, and the woman who trying to kill you. Amen. But then we know the outcome. He obeyed God and what happened. We're going to look at that and what Mr. Bounds has to say about that. Amen? Y'all be blessed. Have a good lessons this week?